Okay, everyone, feel free to rock out. Aerosmith was one of the biggest stadium bands in the world in the 1970s. Shout out to Maxanne Sartori, the DJ who championed them. But then came the cliché, drug addiction for lead singer Steve Tyler and guitarist Joe Perry, infighting. By the 1980s, rock's bottom. And as Aerosmith fell, rising hip-hop stars Run DMC passed them in the other direction.
I'm the king of rock, there ain't none higher. Sucker MCs should call me sire.
But while Run DMC had hits, they didn't have airplay. No hip-hop group did. Then in 1986, Run DMC producer and Aerosmith fan Rick Rubin had a thought. Maybe a mashup could help them both. Specifically, the Aerosmith monster hit off the Toys in the Attic album, Walk This Way. Rubin thought Run DMC already used the beats at the beginning. Maybe they could put their spin on the lyrics. The subsequent joint venture, Aerosmith and Run DMC, made rock history. Walk This Way was a mega hit. It put hip-hop in the mainstream and, coupled with sobriety, relaunched Aerosmith. For Run DMC? Different story. Washington Post arts reporter Jeff Edgers has researched this story within an inch of its life in his new book, Walk This Way, Run DMC, Aerosmith, and the Song That Changed American Music Forever. Jimmy Kimmel tweeted out, for music fans who can also read, this is a good one. And Jeff Edgers joins us in the studio. Jeff, remind us of this moment.
What's very hard to understand today when hip-hop is part of every element of our culture, from merchandising to television to everything, that there was a point where rap was just not in the mainstream, that if you wanted to hear it, you'd listen to a college radio station or you'd have to really seek it out. And this song is, I mean, if there's a line between before and after, this is the moment.
Yeah. And a moment, too, that's hard to, it's just hard to think of Steve Tyler, who we see, you know, gallivanting around the world now on the arm of various people. That he couldn't, I mean, gallivant, he could barely move.
Yeah, I mean, this book, I hope, accomplishes, you know, sort of resetting history in many ways. There's a false idea here that Aerosmith, the rock gods, came in and helped Run DMC become popular. And what, in fact, happened was Aerosmith, the fallen rock gods, who were really in terrible shape.
Oh, they were Icarus. They had flown too close to the sun. Their wings were completely burned off.
And Run DMC, they were the first rap superstars. Before this record, they had already sold a couple million of their previous records. So they were already, and they were young and energetic, and they were rising. Mm. I would say they saved Aerosmith. And they were kind of the sacrifice for that. This wasn't great ultimately for Run DMC, but for Aerosmith, it just totally relaunched them.
Well, we'll get to why it wasn't as great for Run DMC, but in the meantime, let's listen to a little of one of their biggest hits, Rockbox.
My name is Joseph Simmons, but my middle name's Warren. And when I'm rocking on the mic, you should all applaud because we're willing.
Talk a little bit about Run DMC. Start there. Joseph Simmons, Run, the brother of Russell Simmons, the producer and manager. Daryl McDaniels, DMC, a comic book geek, as you say. Jason Mizell, Jam Master Jay. What a sad story there. And just tell us a little bit about the group.
Well, Run DMC emerges in the early 80s, and basically in clubs, there is hip-hop. You've got DJs as early as, like, you know, the mid-70s. but there was no actual music industry for hip hop, because what would happen is you'd have these great groups and DJs and MCs in the clubs, and then the record company would come in and sign them, and they would turn them into disco with some rapping over it. So people always think of Rapper's Delight as, you know, one of the first hip hop songs, and it is, but it's really a disco song with rapping over it.
From sun to sun and from day to day, I sit down and write a brand new rhyme, because they say that miracles never cease. I've created a devastating masterpiece. I'm gonna rock the mic so you can't resist. Everybody,
you can listen to Rapper's Delight, which is by the Sugar Hill Gang, and then you put on Sucker MCs, which is one of Run DMC's first songs, and it's startling, the difference. What Run DMC did is they took the sound of the playground and the club, and they actually put it on record.
2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme. So I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was there, but then it went this way. Took a test to become an MC, and Orange Cook became amazed at me. So Larry put me inside the Scap-to-Lack. The chauffeur drove off and we never came back.
You had a beat and you had the rap over it, but you didn't gloss it up with a bunch of R&B stuff.
Or with Aerosmith. You didn't mess it up with Aerosmith, because what's hilarious is Run DMC knew of the beats that open Walk This Way. Let's hear them again. Okay, so they knew this. They loved this. They took the beat. But as soon as Steve Tyler started singing, they thought, what?
Run DMC didn't even know there were lyrics in that song. They knew it as Toys in the Attic, number 4. What happened is Rick Rubin, he gives them the record, he gives them a yellow notepad, and he gives them a pen and says, go to Daryl's basement, listen to the song, and write down the lyrics. And that's the first time they say they heard the words, and they did not like it. They called it Hillbilly Bull. We know what comes next, you know?
Okay, so then you come to this moment that they're all coming into the recording studio. By the way, Steve and Joe split $8,000 for this session to come in.
Right.
They didn't want to be there. Run DMC didn't want to be there. They were worried about a rental car that they'd misplaced. But what did happen that gave it this? We'll have the video at herenow.org. You see them split by a wall, one on one side of the wall. What a metaphor. The others on the other side, like two recording studios, and they start hearing each other through the wall, and they're trying to break through the wall.
You're talking about the video.
Yeah, the video.
Right.
Where'd the spark come from that created what was obviously a great recording?
Well, the spark is this. You have Rick Rubin and you have Jam Master Jay. He's like a calming force, and they're really in control of the situation. But, you know, it's hard to explain why good art comes out of something, like why you go to the symphony one night and it sounds electric, and then the next night you go and it sounds flat. They just happened to be in a moment that March 9th, 1986, where that beat and the energy in that room, whatever, created something special. The song was too good and the artists were too good.
As we say, it made history, revived Aerosmith. But as you point out and you talk to people in the book, it wasn't as good for Run DMC. Some people thought maybe, you know, they kind of sold out by doing this and maybe didn't have to. Maybe they would have had the success they were going to have anyway. But suddenly they are attached to this other group. I mean, what was the thinking about why it wasn't as good for them?
They could have just fizzled out anyway. It was such a big hit for them that you couldn't help but not do as well the next time out. And I think once that happens, people say, oh, so they're not selling as many as last time. And also you have Ron and Daryl, who really had some conflict. And, you know, Jam Master Jay was tragically killed in 2002 in unsolved murder. So that basically ended it. No amount of money. I think Daryl said, I wouldn't get back together with Ron for $200 billion.
Okay, well, that's pretty definitive.
Right.
But together, they made history. Jeff Edgers, the book is Walk This Way, Run DMC, Aerosmith, and the song that changed American music forever. Jeff, thanks.
Thank you for having me.